Wasn't sure how to start out in a message like this, but the Sunday school, the thoughts of question two. What is suggested by these words, overthrow, break, burn, hew, and destroy? And I'm just going to pull out a little thought. Maybe it's a little side note, not even connected to the message. But I pondered of that, those words, and I thought of, well, back when we were, when our president sent men to Iraq, and they're combating with the terrorists. They came in and they were aggressive. They were going to do what it took to stop it. To get the man that was behind it. Or that they felt was behind it. Can we apply this to our spiritual lives? These words are aggressive words. To overthrow, to break, to burn, to hew. In our spiritual life, we must do the same way. We must be aggressive in our spiritual life. No, it doesn't mean aggressive to other people, but aggressive in our commitment to God. We're going to do what it takes to be victors, to win in our spiritual life. We're at the ordination, and the ordination message that Brother Sherwin shared was out of Psalm 126. And I'm going to read the verse that he pulled out of, verse 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And there's one thought that I want to pull out. There's a first point that he made, and that is the going forth, to go forth. The aggressiveness it takes. Step up to the plate. Go forth. Do what needs to be done. It talks about activity. It talks about something happening. You're going to put effort forth. It's going to go forth. You can turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. The energy to go forth and to make things happen is something that comes from God. And there should be one thing that we're going to share in the message that should inspire you to put forth the energy. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Do you need to put energy forth? You sure do. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. I've entitled the message this morning, Time, a Loan from God. Time, a Loan from God. When I first pondered about a title for this, I put down time, a gift from God. And it's true, time is a gift from God. He gives it to you. He gives it to you to use as you want to or as you ought to. But He's asking you to return it back to Him. That's why it's a loan. Because see, oftentimes we think that God gave us time as a gift. We can spend it as we want to. We can do with it what we want to, but no, it's a loan from God. I'm going to keep reading here. Ephesians 5, verse 17. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Time is alone to us. That's the first point I have. Time is loaned to us to be used in God's service, my first point. Think there in the Garden of Eden. Genesis 2:7, God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. The first man had life. Time was started before that. Time was started at the creation. But this was the first man that had the breath of life. The time that God allowed for that man to live was different than the time he's given to the world. The same is true for us today. We're born as babies. A soul comes into the world. Life is formed. Time has started for that individual. Turn with me to Acts 17. As I think about time and man's allotted time on this earth, Acts 17. Some verses here I'd like to read as we think of that. God creating man and giving him life. Verse 25. Paul is here preaching, and he's talking to the people, and he's preaching about this altar that he had found about to the unknown God. And in verse 25, let's start reading. Neither is worshipped. Let's back up to verse 24. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needeth anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their inhabitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of our own prophets has said, for we all are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think of the Godhead. Think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven with art and man's device. And in times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Verse 31, because he hath appointed a day in the which he shall judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Let's cease reading there. Time is loaned to us to be used in God's service. Paul is saying here that God has made the world, all things therein. He's created everything. He's not worshipped with man's hands, things that are made by man, but he's worshipped when men give their hearts back to him. That's worship. It's a loan. He loans us life to give back to him. For in him we live and move and have our beings. God gives man life and breath. But in verse 31, we find there's going to be an end to it sometime. He has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. He is going to judge it by God and what we've done for God on this earth. Time is loaned to us. Time is very precious. Time slips by. I had a message that came around and a little while ago, and it had a clock that was ticking, and a very good thought that once time's passed, we can't get it back. Time is very precious. What I'm saying this morning, this second, we can't go back and relive. Time is also swiftly passing. You could think of the Bible verse that all things continue as they were. There's men today are living in light of that. They think that, where's the promise of Jesus coming back? Because all things are just continuing. No, brothers, time is passing swiftly. Job says, Now my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. Job, a man that was in the middle of trial, is saying this. Chapter 8, verse 9. For we are but of yesterday and know nothing, because our days upon earth are a shadow, here and gone. Job, a man that after his trials, after these words were shared, lived 140 years. But it still was swift to him. What about us today? Time is so uncertain. We don't know when God's going to call us back. We don't know when the end time is going to be. Importance to be ready. Ready to share a little bit on it. But time, as it's loaned to us, time, we can't recall it. We can't bring it back. James 4:14 says, whereas ye know not what should be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor. It appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You know, you have a kettle boiling and the vapor comes off of it and it appears and it goes away. That's life. James is liking that to our life here on this earth. The time that is loaned to us is that long. We live from day to day and we think, oh, we got time. It's plenty. But it's short, brothers and sisters. Time is loaned, and we are going to be accountable, held accountable, for what we do with that little dash. That little dash between the dates. Think about this statement. Each moment as it passes is the meeting place of two eternities. Each moment as it passes is a meeting place of two eternities. It's serious. It's a very serious thought. Time is loaned to us. What am I doing with that time? The second point. Time alone from God. We need to make good use of our time. Second point I have is make good use of our time. Just think about with me for a while. Maybe we should have tied this in with the first parts and the thoughts, but yesterday is past. That's history. We can't recall it. We can think about it, but we can't recall it. Tomorrow is very uncertain. We may not be living tomorrow. Your heart is in your body. It's pumping blood through your system. It's keeping you alive. if that heart stops pumping, life is going to go. Do you think about your heart pumping? I don't. I go through life very unconscious of the fact that that's working and keeping life in my body. God knows when that's going to quit. We don't know. We don't know if we're going to have tomorrow. We don't know if we're going to have another minute. Technology nowadays, if they get there in time, they can help maybe start it. Or we think of our neighbor there as he had that thing that shocked him and got his heart going again. But God is still in control. God still controls. He lets man help to maintain life and to keep life. But the final is God. Make good use of your time today. The only time we have is today. Right now, that's what's ours. And each moment as it passes is a meeting place of two eternities. Where are you going to spend eternity? If we procrastinate, we lose the present. So what should we do as we think of making good use of our time as it's loaned to us? Most importantly is we need to give our heart to the Lord. Give our heart to the Lord. Give up to God. We say, well, we've done that as a youth. Or maybe it's a youth that's in need of doing it. But have we given up to God? Are we still living for a little bit of self? Is this moment still lived for me? Is it still lived for I? Is there some pride there? Is there some self in us? It must not be. It must not be. Time is too important. The moments are ticking by. And what we do for Christ is what's going to matter. Am I giving Christ first place as I ought to? What about using our time to serve others? We give our life to God, and that's an outpouring of it, is in service to others. Think about Jesus. That's what Jesus did when he was here on this earth. He gave up of himself to serve others. Study it. How many times he was sleep deprived? How many times that he just felt a burden for the people that were about him? Do I make good use of my time and feel a burden for helping people that are about me? Maybe too often we are waiting for the big things of life. As I pondered this, and there's a sign in our house that says, cherish the simple things. Enjoy the two moments or the time that God has loaned to you, and service for Him. Don't worry about taking it to yourself. Look for the little things in service. As you're serving God, look for the little things that you can be thankful for, and you can cherish them. That makes life memorial and a good memory for you. The third part. We want to look at time being loaned to us from God, and look at the brevity of life, the shortness and the frailty of life. We're going to read some scripture in this, and as we ponder this, turn with me to Psalm 90. Psalm 90, verse 12. Let's stand as we read it. Let's all read it together. This should be our prayer as we go through life. My first part of my Bible says, Moses prays for the knowledge and sensible experience of God's good providence. Verse 12, or Psalms 90, verse 12. Together?
So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom.
All right, thank you. You may be seated. So teach us to number our days. It doesn't work to look at the past and say, well, my days are so long. I'm 30-some years old, or Jesse, I believe, is going to turn 35 this week. I'm 35 years old. Let's not just look at the past. What I'm trying to get at here, it needs to start somewhere, and it must be today. Remember that statement I shared? Every moment as it passes is in a meeting place of two eternity. Start today. Start what you're living at today is important. Yes, it matters if you've given your heart to the Lord and started on that journey. But if you don't keep on the journey with Jesus, you're making a choice in the moments who you're going to serve and where you're going to end up in the eternity. I'd like to look at Ecclesiastes 12:1. So we think of time again, and we look at life and how fragile it is. And how short it is. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Start today and make a past that you can look back on without regrets. Start today and make a history that you can be glad and praise God about. And you can look back and see how God has led you. That's why it's important for youth, to remember who created them and how He has loaned time to you. What are you going to do with your life? What are you going to do with it? Are you going to live it for self? Waste it on self? And when you come to God and hand it back to Him, He's going to have no pleasure in it. As we realize the brevity of life, let's turn to 1 Corinthians. By aligning our duties of today with our heavenly duties, 1 Corinthians 7. There's a lot of verses here that would be good for us to read. Yeah, maybe we'll just take time to read them. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 20. We go through life and we have duties that we need to do, things that we need to do. We have an occupation. Let's read 1 Corinthians 7, verse 20. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou being called a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called, being free, is God's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. As I look at these verses here, verse 21, he's saying, if you're a servant, doesn't mean that we don't care and we don't do our servant work. That's not what he's talking. But if you're a servant, fill your role. Be a servant. You can serve God there. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. But if you're free, if you're working for yourself, in today's language. So we're saying that if you're working for someone else or whether you're working for yourself, question is, who are you using it for? What are you using the time that you have for? Are we using it to service to God? Let's keep reading. Verse 23. You are bought with a price. Be not the servants of man. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord. Yet I give my judgment as one that obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose therefore that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Art thou bound unto a woman? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a woman? Seek not a wife. But, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they weep not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. There's a lot of thoughts come through this passage here. But the thought I want to pull out is the need to serve Christ where you're at. In your occupation. No matter what you do. Serve Christ. Align your duties that God has called you to on this earth with Him. Ask yourselves, is there a way that my job, my occupation does service to God? Align your occupation, your income, maybe it's how your neighbors view you. Do they see a Mennonite? Do they see someone that is giving all in service to Christ? Or does your work take first place? We must, as we have our time allotted to us today, God has loaned it to us. Are we using the daily time that He has given to us to further His kingdom? Be happy where God has called you, is what I see comes out of these verses. Ephesians 5, back to our text verse. Ephesians 5, verse 15 and 16. See then that you walk circumspectly. Serious living. It's a point I have as I think of the brevity of life. How short life is, and what he's speaking here in the Ephesians 5. The brevity of life calls for some serious living. Life is serious. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Serious living. Take a serious look. Serious living, first of all, needs a serious look at our life, where we're at in service for Christ. God has loaned us this time. What are we using it for? Last one, as I think of the brevity of life, a consistent example. We must have a consistent example before the world. Colossians 4, verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. An example that affects them. An example that they can, that it will change their life. Closing thoughts. What time is it in your life? Is it the time that you need to open your heart to the Lord? Is it the time that you still need to give of yourself to God? Or is that already done in your life and you just need to keep living day to day in service for Him? What time is it in your life? I trust that you have given your heart to the Lord. I trust that you've given of yourself to the Lord. And the time is that you just need to continue to walk with Him. Romans 13, verse 11. And that knowing the time, that it is now high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. What time is it in your life? Is it time that you need to put more faith and trust in your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Is it time that you need to leave Him be more the leader of your life? Or does He have complete control of your life? It is time to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It is. Have you done it, though? It is time to reach out and to serve other people. It is time to reach out and look for those about us that are in need of help. And take our eyes off of self. It is time to forgive, no matter what someone has done to us. Closing verse, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 29. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. That's where I want to stop reading there on that verse. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. The time we have today, brothers and sisters, is short. Whether you live to be 90 years old, it's still short. Whether you're only 30-some, it's still short. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. We don't know if we'll be here or whether God will call us home. The important thing is, have I used the time today to get ready for Him? Let us kneel for prayer.